Galatians 4. Let's turn to Galatians 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 while you get your phones, Bibles, whatever. Whenever I want to relax, I mean, I listen to podcasts, I listen to Audible books, I read books, but a lot of them are I don't know, leadership books, and I'm in school right now, so I'm reading a lot of textbooks, and I'm reading policy briefs, because I have one class, it's a political class, and so I'm reading, you know, how they pass laws, and I'm having to go to city council meetings and school board meetings, and it's a thing. Anyway, whenever I want to relax, I tend to do historical fiction. It's what I like. And so, you know, Downton Abbey, Poldark, I read Jane Eyre, I read Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice. I like that stuff. And today, in America today, other places in the world, not so much, but in America today, we don't really have a true understanding of what it is to be a master and a servant. We don't really get that. See, for millennia, not just a few hundred years, but literally for thousands of years, food insecurity was the norm. Now here, I realize that we go into the grocery store and it's a little bit of sticker shock. I mean, I bought cereal, I bought milk, I got bread, ham, and cheese, and I walked out, it was $70, and it was two bags, and it was just, oh, sticker shock. But for millennia, people did not necessarily know where their next meal was coming from. They didn't have a house to live in, or maybe a tent to live in. And we still see this in some nations today, but not so much in the U.S. In the U.S., for the most part, people have food. Now, it might be, you know, WIC programs, it might be food stamp programs, but for the most part, we all go home and we have food in our cabinets. And so we don't understand that. But for millennia, for many, many years, that was not the case. And so to be a servant in a house meant you had a regular source of food. You had a place to sleep. If you had a good master, you had good food. And if you had a good master, you had a dry bed of hay to sleep on, and you were protected from raiders, because people raided not just for gold and silver, but for food. Like, it was that kind of a thing. But we don't have a true understanding. And so when we read this, we're going to read about how the children, the young children of the master, are the masters of all. But until the time appointed by the father, they're not released to do what they're supposed to do. So let's read in Galatians here. And we're going to read in the Amplified Version. It's my version. Now what I mean when I talk about children and their guardians is this. As long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, even though he is the future owner and master of all the estate. But he is under the authority of guardians and household administrators or managers until the date set by his father when he is of legal age. So also we, whether Jews or Gentiles, when we were children, spiritually immature, were kept like slaves under the elementary, man-made, religious, or philosophical teachings of the world. But when, in God's plan, the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the regulations of the law, so that he might redeem and liberate those who were under the law, that he who believed might be adopted as sons, as God's children with all rights, as fully grown members of a family. And because you really are his sons, God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir through the gracious act of God through Christ Jesus. It's adoption day. It's adoption day. Maybe you've been a Christian and you've known Jesus for a long time, but there may have been areas in your life where yet you felt like an orphan. You felt like you didn't have a father. You felt unsafe. You felt unprotected, unprovided for. You felt like there was no future. There was no hope in this area. And so it's been an area that has dogged you. It's been an area of failure. It's been an area of brokenness. It's been an area of hurt or of pain. It's been an area that you think, if I'm a son And I'm an heir to everything. Why is it I can't get over this one issue? Why is it I can't get over this one problem? Why is it that I tend to take two steps forward and then I feel like, you know, it's like what Paul said, the flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. You know, the thing that I want to do, I can't do. And the thing I don't want to do, it seems to be the only thing I can do. And I'm here today to tell you, I believe in those areas where we've seen that, it could be possibly that we have a wrong mindset where we're still thinking like an orphan. We're still thinking like one that's under the law versus one that's under the grace. We're still thinking of one that is outside the family, that hasn't been fully engrafted, not fully adopted, not fully provided for, cared for, protected, fully having a future and a plan for. See, for years in the medieval times, the first son inherited everything. The second son got nothing. And so as a means to provide for himself, he went into the army. Because the army, especially if you were a nobleman's son, gave you money, it gave you food, it gave you a purpose, it gave you a place to sleep. That also sent you to war, but, you know, needs must. The third son would go into the church. Whether you were called or not, that's what they did. The third son went into the church because, again, you got food. You had somewhere to sleep, and it gave you just a little bit of money. It gave you a purpose. It gave you something to do. I'm here to say we're all first sons. We're all first sons. We're all first daughters. We get the full inheritance. We get the full shebang. I like, my husband will tell you, champagne taste on a very nice beer budget. Not to talk about alcohol, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I like nice things. I like being spoiled. And I have a loving husband that does that. But I'm not talking about physical things, but the Lord has good gifts for his children. He says that he has good things for us. It says that it hasn't even entered our hearts or our minds. No thought has entered our minds of all the good things that he has for us. And so where we see lack, where we see brokenness, where we see less than, where we see things that don't line up with what the Word of God says, it could be tempting because it's painful. It could be shameful. I mean, you know, if you've been in the church for a while, it's not easy to admit that you've got an issue. We want, as just human beings, we want to look like we've got it all together. There's this, it was a few years ago. You know, I watched TED Talks. YouTube's my friend. And there was this thing, you know, trends go through society. Trends go through. And there was this trend a few years ago started by this psychologist that's actually at U of H. And it was about vulnerability. And she was actually speaking to heads of big businesses, like big CEOs, like Shell and Procter & Gamble and big Johnson & Johnson. And she was speaking to them and talking to them about being vulnerable. See, there was a thing in the Russian, in the communist culture, they could never admit there was something wrong because then that reflected bad back on Mother Russia and the government. And so when Chernobyl, the nuclear meltdown that happened in the 80s, when that started to happen, all the people that worked there, they couldn't admit that it was happening. And so it kept getting worse because they couldn't admit that it was happening, because then that would somehow reflect badly on them, like they hadn't done their job, even though it was just a nuclear accident. And so it kept getting worse. And they kept sending more people in trying to fix it. And of course, they fried. And they couldn't admit that somehow the communist regime had failed, and they couldn't admit it. See, as humans, it's hard for us sometimes to admit when something's wrong, when something's not right, when something's broken, when we want to look like we got it all together. We like to look like that. We talked about this morning. We talked about laying down your glory, laying down your crowns, not looking like we've got it all together, because Jesus says that through our weakness, he is strong. And so we might at times not want to admit that there's this problem, but I'm here today to tell you it's adoption day. You've got a father that is ready to move on your behalf. You've got a father that has already moved. He already sent his son. Jesus can't die again. He already died. He already paid everything for it. It's a done deal. It's a complete thing. The check is in the bank. The money has been deposited. It's all there. It's ready for you to now take a withdrawal so that you can have all that you need to do all that he has for you to do. See, each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has a destiny. Each one of us has something that God, many things, that God has called us to do. You know, some of us, it's to be a mom. For some of us, it's to be a missionary. For some of us, it's to be someone that goes out and makes money and pours it into the kingdom. There's all these things that the Lord has for us to do, and there's different things in different seasons. It might be for a while you do this, and then for a while you do that, and then you step into this, and God just directs your path. But if we can't face it, if we can't admit it, if we can't look at the problem, then we stay in a place where we can't let God fix it. We stay in a place and God wants to fix it. See, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. I memorized Galatians 4:7. I was at Vacation Bible School in Chico, California in 1980 something. Some of you weren't even born yet. For we are no longer slaves, but we are sons. And since we are sons, we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. All that he has, all that he has done, all that he has given, we are co-heirs with him in that. There is nothing withheld. There is nothing held back from us. There is no good thing that God holds back from us. There is no good thing that he wants to dangle in front of us and never give to us. He's not the carrot on the end of the stick, just saying, come on, a little further, a little further. That's not his style. But we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. And Jesus said that he had been given all authority. All authority. And so this morning, whenever that healing anointing came in, we have authority over every sickness and every disease. We have authority over every broken place, every lie that the enemy has told us, we have authority over it to break that thing. Every generational curse that is passed down from our grandmother and our mother and on down, Jesus has given us the authority to break that thing. And so this morning I'm here to tell you it's adoption day. Full adoption day. Not partial, not half, not three quarters, not 98%. 100%. Every area of every place in every part of our life, our bodies, our souls, our minds, our history, our past, our future, our present, what we need, what we want, what we desire, what God wants us to desire. Every part of us, it's adoption day. It's adoption day. But here's the thing. It says that when the child is young, even though he's under the authority of guardians and household administrators or managers until the date set by his father, so also when we were children, spiritually immature. See, we don't give a two-year-old keys to our car. We don't give a 16-year-old keys to our business. We don't give them the car, not the business. You know, you may not give your 24-year-old their entire inheritance all at once, because there's maturity that needs to develop so that when they get the blessing and the responsibility that comes with it, they don't end up squandering it on silly things. Now, we've all known, or if you're young, you will know, mature people that aren't so mature. We've all seen it. I mean, I have seen full-grown men and women, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, stomp their feet like a child and have a total fit or breakdown because they didn't get what they want, when they want, how they wanted it, from who they wanted. I mean, come to the ER with me. If somebody doesn't get their warm blanket and a turkey sandwich, it's just, you know, everything's breaking loose. It's just crazy. Maturity comes by obedience. If you want to be mature in Christ, if you want to grow up in Him, it's not about time. It's not about time. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. And I'm not talking about legality. I'm not talking about religious rules and laws. I'm saying that when the Lord says, close your mouth, you close your mouth. And when He says, step out, you step out. And when He says, step back, you step back. And when He says, sing out, you sing out. It's about taking those little steps of obedience. It's not about laws. It's not about rules. It's not about religious structures, but it's about following the Spirit. And so when Jesus says you'll go to Angola, it's then getting your mind in the right mindset of, okay, I'm going to Angola. I don't know when or how or why, but I'm going. It's when He says you're going to preach that you say, well, God, that terrifies me, and I'm going to shake, and I'm going to rattle, and I'm going to stutter. But okay, you said it, so I'll do it. See, that's how maturity comes. It's that obedience. It's stepping into that obedience. It's reading in Corinthians when it says that love conquers all. When it says love suffers, love is patient, love is kind. It's when we're kind when we don't feel like being kind. But it's because Jesus said to be kind. You know, it's when we're patient, when we don't feel like being patient. I was running a little late this morning, so I was kind of speeding here. And David started singing to me the patience song, you know, have patience. I was out there at the elevator pushing the button, like, come on. You know. And so it's about taking those little steps of obedience that brings the maturity that then allows God, because He's already got it stored up for us. It's already there. It's just waiting on us. We think we're waiting on Him. He's kind of waiting on us. And so it's already there. And so He's waiting for us to hit this place, or maybe not hit, but to grow into a place of maturity where we're willing to be obedient no matter the cost. We're willing to be obedient no matter if it's something that we're holding back or whether it's something He's pushing us out to do. We're willing to be obedient and say no to ourselves and say yes to others. We're willing to be obedient. He's waiting for that maturity to grow in us so that then He can give us more responsibility, and with that more blessings, and with that more purpose, with that more effectiveness, with that more blessings of the kingdom. I like being blessed. I like being effective more. I like being effective more. I want my life to be, like Pastor Lena was saying earlier, so that people can trust what I say. They can look at my life and know what I live for and what I stand for so that I can have entrance into their life to speak Jesus. Not my own opinions. I've got them. Lord knows I got opinions. Not my opinions, but what the Lord is saying to them. Because then that's what changes. It unlocks. It unlocks their heart for Jesus. It unlocks their mindsets that, oh, maybe if the Lord has said it, maybe I could do that thing. Maybe I should do that thing. Maybe I should get myself in line and prepare to even do that thing. And maybe that is possible. See, the world around us, even us, we're so beat down. That can never happen. It'll never happen. It can never go there. You'll never say that. You'll never go there. You'll never be that. You'll never sing that song. You'll never write that book. You'll never preach. You'll never go on a mission trip. It's not possible for you. Everybody else it's possible for, but not for you. I love when the Lord uses me as a key to unlock that thought. That thought that you're never going to amount to a hill of beans. And the Lord uses my heart, my mouth, to unlock that. I like being effective. I'm not going to lie. I like that. It's not a thing that I worship. It's not a thing that I put my identity in, because it's not me. It's Jesus. Let's get that real clear, real quick. It's Jesus, okay? I'm a hot mess. You can ask my husband. I'm a hot mess. But Jesus, He covers a multitude of sins. He's like my makeup. He covers a multitude of sins. He's like my Botox. He smooths out the wrinkles. I'll stop there. My plastic surgeon picks up things that have fallen. But Jesus, he wants us, he's beckoning us. This morning, the worship, the anointing, the healings, the things that he was speaking through people, he is drawing us into a place of intimacy with him. He is drawing us into a place of full inheritance with him. He is drawing us into a place where he can relinquish some of these responsibilities. He can relinquish some of these ministries that he has for us. He's ready for us to go out there. He's ready for it. He is so ready for it. He's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him. Like some of us, we might sit at home and wait for an anointing before we feel like we can go talk to our neighbor. We might wait for an anointing in our car before we can get out and maybe go pray for that person that the Lord is prompting us to go pray. He's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him. It's the anointing will be there. You step out and the anointing will be there. It'll meet you there. But it's about us having that obedience on the inside that then brings the maturity, that then releases the responsibility, that releases the blessings, that releases the purpose, that releases the effectiveness, that releases actually getting something done. I mean, it feels good. This week I got into my front beds. Vic has been coming over pulling weeds. He's amazing. I didn't want to do that part. He's awesome. He did that for me. So then I got to go out and do the part that I like. I planted things. Yeah, pulling the weeds, you get into the ants down there, and I'm not down with the fire ants. But I got to plant the stuff, and now I'm watering it, and I just stand there. Grow. I'm ready for it to grow. And so I think I'm going to start taking pictures like every Monday so that I can see the growth, because you don't really see it, you know, just standing there, grass growing, you can't see it. But I'm going to start taking pictures every Monday so I can see my creeping thyme. It's red creeping thyme that I planted that's going to spread all over my flower garden, and it'll make it beautiful and cut out all the weeds. It's amazing. But today God wants to settle some things in us. And so if there's any place in you, let's stand. Just close your eyes for a second. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's any place where you've been maybe acting more like an orphan than a son. If there's any place, Holy Spirit, show us. If there's any thought, any idea, any tradition that we've held on to, any inherited family tradition or idea that we've held on to that doesn't line up with what your word says, Lord. Holy Spirit, show that to us now. All right, now whatever he has shown you, whatever it is, believe the opposite. If it says you can't, but the Lord has said you can, then just purpose in your heart, I'm going to start believing that I can do that. I can go to school and get my degree. I can get that job. I can go on that missions trip. I can go out and witness. I can see healings. I can see breakthroughs. I can have money in the bank at the end of the week and not just be living from paycheck to paycheck. I can save my money. I can say no to Starbucks or to Target. I can say no to Amazon and actually save my money. Whatever that thing is, just give it before the Lord. And now, Holy Spirit, I pray that today, whatever area is broken, bruised, whatever area is holding us back, whatever area that we have not fully surrendered to you, whatever area that we are still in an orphan mindset, Father, I pray that today adoption grabs a hold of us. Full adoption by you grabs a hold of us, Lord. That your Spirit grabs a hold of us and we break every lie that comes against anything that you have said, Lord. And Father, we celebrate that we are full heirs in Christ with you. Full heirs, not part, not partial. This isn't a probation period. This isn't a 90-day trial. There are no exchanges or refunds. There's no returns. Lord, you can't unadopt us once you've adopted us. He can't unadopt you once he's adopted you. It's a thing. He cannot. It's actually a law in the United States that once you adopt a child, you can't unadopt them. And so he cannot. Once his blood has been spread upon your heart, you have asked him for forgiveness. You have received Jesus into your heart. You are fully, fully adopted. You are fully vetted. There is no partial. It's not a wait and see. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to kind of test it out. He's not testing you. It's full. It's done. It's complete. It's a completed work in Jesus. And so, Lord, we just celebrate you today, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.